This is the regular monthly meeting of the
Birmingham Planning Commission, December the 7th, 2022.
The official planning agency of the city of Birmingham under Title 11 of the Alabama Code. Its broad responsibility is to plan for the orderly physical development and or redevelopment of the city, including its transportation network, public facilities, and the arrangement of land uses. More specifically, this commission is responsible for preparing and maintaining, on a current basis, a comprehensive plan, which serves as an overall guide to coordinate private and public development within the city. To assist in its planning responsibilities, the Planning Commission has delegated certain functions to several of its committees. Among these are the Subdivision Committee, which controls the subdivision of land and local street patterns, and the Zoning Advisory Committee, which evaluates and makes recommendations to the City Council on the merits of applications for zoning changes or appropriate zoning for newly annexed areas. The Planning Commission is composed of 16 members, 12 are private citizens appointed by the City Council, and 4 ex officio members, the mayor, the city engineer, and 2 members of the City Council or their representatives. Did everyone receive their packet of information, which includes the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. Well, in that case, we will have the approval of the agenda as our first item.
Madam Chairman, I move to approve the agenda as presented, but to take case number PF922 as our first case.
All right, we have a proper motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Do we have to take a few minutes or seconds rather to review the minutes from November the 2nd? And once you have reviewed those, welcome a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. But we need to make a correction to the minutes first. Where it says Member Thompson, Ryan Dunn, here.
All right, we have a motion to make an amendment to the current minutes on November 2nd. Brian Gunn was present at that meeting. Do we have any other amendments that need to be made? All right. I'd like to entertain a second.
Second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, well, we have a report from the director.
There's no report today.
All right, great. Well, in that case, we will hear our first case. That is PF9-22.
Good morning. My name is Heather Pearson. I serve as senior planner for the City of Birmingham. This is public facility case PF9-9-22. This case concerns a request by the Birmingham Zoo for the approval of the location, character, and extent of improvements associated with the new Cougar Crossing exhibit. The proposed exhibit location is within the Alabama Wilds area of the zoo. This project includes the design and construction of a new enclosed, conditioned, non-occupied animal care facility. The new Cougar Bobcat exhibit is less than 2,000 square feet. The exhibit and associated infrastructure will be developed upon approximately 0.2 acres of land within the 150 acres of land owned by the City of Birmingham and leased by the zoo. The new exhibit and animal care facility will encompass 6 animal dens, keeper work area, training area, public viewing area, viewing dock, caregiver yard, bobcat yard, and associated landscape hardscape areas. The zoo hopes to start construction in the first quarter of 2023 and complete construction of the project by the end of 2023. Here to present the case is Corey Barton, Senior Project Manager at Rivas Construction.
Thank you for your time this morning. I'm Corey Barton with Reeves Construction. I also have Jenny Whitman,
representing the zoo, the zoo employee, David Moon, is a consultant to the zoo. So hopefully the information provided is adequate, but we want to be here to answer any questions that you may have.
So will you please state your address for the record?
My address?
Yes, sir.
Like it's Reeves Construction?
Sure.
5200 Grantswood Road, Irondale, Alabama, 35210.
Thank you. So is there anything that you want to add to substantively to this case, or the details about it?
No, just be free to answer any questions that you may have, that the packet of information did not already provide.
Okay. I have been informed that this is not necessarily a public hearing, but I still want to give people an opportunity who are members of the public to speak. So is there anyone here who would like to speak for or against this case? Okay, let the record show that no one presented themselves. Are there any questions from the committee? Yes,
Madam Chair, I have just one question to staff. In the description of the proposed project, help me clarify this. You put the design construction of a new enclosed condition, non-occupied animal care facility. Does that mean non-human occupied, non-animal occupied?
Non-human occupied. Yours.
Yes, this is not meant for human occupation. Keepers will be able to come in there, shift animals, and care for animals, but it will not be a permanent place for humans to be in this building.
So, technically, we should think that this out is just an enclosed condition animal care facility.
Yes.
I'm welcome.
Yes, I'm Jenny Whitman, the CFO of Birmingham Zoo.
Would that be more fair to anybody besides myself? Strike the word, I'm my fellow, just, you know, just strike the word, they will come in for care and not necessarily for feeding.
Feeding might take place in there. It's all weather dependent, so this is a habitat for the animals. The majority of the time they will be outside in the enclosure, but this is a place for them to be held during the evenings or cool weather.
Okay.
And to clarify, that language comes from the design classification. So that's just technical language from the design classification. So.
Okay. Yeah, but I know sometimes you have language from the ADA that you have to follow.
Yes, this is more architectural language.
I see you have your mask on and I can't hear that.
He said that was part of the architectural design, but it's clear that this is just an animal here. There are no offices or humans will not be in there long term.
So do you want to strike the language or keep it?
If it's agreeable with the... Yes.
All right. Are there any other questions?
Where on the site is it located?
So this is in Alabama Wilds, which is on the western side of the area. So if you're walking through Alabama Wilds, it's across from Turkey and up from Brock Cabin. So we have a vacant area of land up in that area.
Ms.
I wanted to ask if you have cougars now, or is this a new exhibit that's, you're getting some new cougars?
No, we do not have cougars currently as part of our collection plan. We do have a bobcat that lives in our predator building. So he will be moved over there, and then we'll be working with state and federal agencies to procure cougars, which would normally be orphan cougars that the agencies would be looking to place.
Oh, orphans. That's good. Okay, so this property is vacant, but are you going to remove a lot of the trees? I mean, I know you have to build a building, but how much tree removal will be in this area?
To generalize it, the tree removal will be just for the location of the building itself, but minimal to keep the landscaping around it. So I couldn't give you a quantity on the number of trees, David. Maybe I'll speak to that, but it's not a wholesale leveling of the current property.
So these cougars, will that climb the trees?
Yes, the netting will be on the sides and on the top.
So they'll be fully enclosed. Their enclosures will be fully enclosed on top. So they will not have access to the trees to climb them.
Well, I know that, you know, the elephants had trees, and of course they pushed them over, which is what elephants do, but cougars, you know, I was just expecting that they weren't going to, you know, entertain themselves by climbing the trees, and I wanted to know if they have a lid.
Yes, it will have a lid, and we also put caps on trees, just as we do in our bear enclosures, to discourage the climbing of the trees, but the netting can go around the trees. So it stays with the natural look in keeping with Alabama Wild's theme.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any more questions? Yes.
I wanted to ask about the dry creek beds that are depicted on the site plan that we have in our packet. Are those like in a stormwater conveyance, or is that carry animal waste to some disposal area? We don't have the piping shown up here, so I can't really tell how that works.
Yes, that is stormwater.
Stormwater?
Yes.
Is animal waste handled, is that picked up by the keepers?
Yes, the habitats are cleaned on a daily basis by the caretakers.
Mr. Jordan, so that animal enrichment and animal husbandry is part of the daily activities that the animal care professionals do. So, you know, it's by bringing in different types of enrichment, whether they do things where they are hiding their food or, you know, to engage their mental capabilities throughout the day. They'll also be propping within the site to give them variation in where they are in the habitat. Yeah, you're a little out of my realm.
Yeah, well, I was just curious, you know, if I was in a zoo for my entire life, I'd get pretty bored, I think.
Yeah, that is one of the primary focuses of animal care, is their daily enrichment.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I reminded her they're also cats, so they sleep at 2 hours.
You only get to do it once.
Oh, once?
Yeah, once. Sounds
like you have a great job. It sounds so interesting. More interesting than are we ready for a vote?
I did have a question, because it's presented as a cougar crossing. So I was thinking that was like they would go from one area to another, but...
No, ma'am. It's just so the way you go through Alabama Wild, you'll be, you know, passing by, and so the crossing is the viewing through.
Oh, for the,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just a naming thematic.
This item is the proposed housing plan for Smithfield that is associated with a Choice Neighborhood Grant application due January 11, 2023. The plan contains proposed land use and zoning changes to accommodate redevelopment to the Smithfield Court Public Housing Community and other key sites in Smithfield. The Smithfield Choice Neighborhood Project area is generally bounded by Interstate 5920 to the north, Interstate 65 to the east, Graymont Avenue to the south, and 7th Street West to the west. This grant is part of the Choice Neighborhood Program in the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development signature place-based initiative that leverages public and private dollars to support locally driven strategies that address obsolete public housing sites through a comprehensive approach to neighborhood transformation, which focuses on directing resources to address integrated case goals, which are housing, people in education, and neighborhoods. The proposed redevelopment of Smithfield Court, a public housing site in the Smithfield neighborhood, will modernize an approximately 30-acre site into a mixed-use, mixed-income community. While central to the Choice Neighborhood Project area, this proposed redevelopment targets several key sites in addition to the Smithfield Court public housing site as catalysts for the reimagination and revitalization of the entire Smithfield community. The Smithfield Choice Neighborhood Grant proposal includes strategies to implement public housing redevelopment, the coordination and design of supportive services for residents, and neighborhood-level planning to enhance neighborhood assets. These efforts are building on the UAB Anchor Institution and the United Way Key Partner Foundational Work in the neighborhood. Here to discuss the plan is Corey Stallworth, who serves as Senior Deputy Director of Community Development.
Stallworth, will you please state your name and address for the record?
Good morning. Corey Stallworth. I serve as Senior Deputy Director of Community Development. My address would be the address of City Hall, which escapes me right now. I guess we can add that later if that's okay.
It is 710
North 20th Street. 710 North 20th Street. 10th floor, Community Development. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to kind of stand closely to the laptop because we do have some partners that will be giving the bulk of the presentation on the screen. And so, I want to get a little closely so they can hear me. So, we're elated to present to you all this morning the City of Birmingham and HABD's collaborative effort to apply for a Choice Neighborhood Implementation Grant with HUD. And so this is a very competitive grant. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with it, but we did apply for it in 2020, and we were unsuccessful in that round. But we learned from HUD some of the things that we needed to improve upon, which was some of our partnerships for programming for the community, which we re-engaged on that, as well as additional leverage that's needed. And so since we have come back to the table and recalibrated, we even improved our housing plan for the development that will require some zoning changes and land use changes as well. And so on your page there, your front page where it says narrative, you see our tagline for this development and this application for Smithfield is honoring the past and envisioning the future. And so the leadership team, we thought that Smithfield would be a perfect place for this grant because of its close proximity to a lot of job opportunities downtown and because of its rich historical significance with Parker School being the first black high school in Birmingham. The public housing site, Smithfield Court, was first black public housing site in Birmingham. And of course, there's a lot of notable people that come from Smithfield. So that's one of the reasons why we came up with choosing Smithfield. A part of the Choice Neighborhood grant, there are three focuses or three components that HUD likes to see that you embolden a development plan on. And that includes housing. So what does housing look like for not only the Smithfield Court public housing site, but for also residents that rent or own homes in Smithfield, Graymont, and College Hills, as well as another component is what's called the people and educational component. And so that is where, how can we embolden programs that support families, such as literacy programs, such as workforce development programs, in the community, as well as other educational programs, and how can we attract new programs into this specific footprint. And lastly is the neighborhood improvement, which is being led by the city. How can we improve amenities in the neighborhood? And so, as I said, this is a very competitive grant. I believe normally there's about 6 out of probably 60 that are awarded every application cycle. And so through this planning process, we hope to leverage other public and private investments. We believe that this plan builds off of the 2013 Comprehensive Plan and the 2015 Western Area Framework Plan. So we, in our planning efforts, we did make sure that we went back and researched those documents to make sure that we were in alignment with what residents and stakeholders wanted to see. And so we also have engaged the community. We have had 4 meetings with the communities thus far. HUD requires that you have an individual meeting with the public housing residents, as well as you have a separate meeting with the residents that own and rent outside the public housing community. So we have thoroughly engaged the community and will continue to do so. And so in order to submit this application, we have to show support from the Planning Commission, from the residents of Smithfield, Braymont, and College Hills, that you all provide support for the rezoning and land use that we're going to present a little further today in this discussion. And so we're excited about it. This is an opportunity to bring $50 million into this targeted footprint to really transform this neighborhood and really do a lot of the things that are spoken of in the comprehensive plans and the framework plans. And so I would like to introduce our partnership team. On the call with us today, we have LRK, which is our planning and design firm. They're here with us, and we have Mr. Mandel, who will present on behalf of LRK. Also, our development team is Integral Group and Rural Development. They have partnered together to be the key housing developer for this partnership. Many of you all may be aware of Integral Group from Atlanta that did Park Place, and they have been successful in other Choice Neighborhood grants and in winning those grants. And so, without further ado, I will just turn it over. Okay, we have another slide too, right before I go to Mando. As you can see here, the impact on this slide, you may not be able to see it, but from the $50 million that we get from HUD, we have estimated that this will create about 1,000 new construction jobs retained and created through hiring residents that live in the neighborhood to work on building a lot of the developments, as well as some other workforce development opportunities. We have about 60 partners and counting. These partners, some of them are housing partners, some of them are also people partners like United Way, UAB, who are bringing programming into the neighborhood, and that programming counts as leverage. And so from the $50 million, we believe that we will bring in additional leverage of $550 million into this neighborhood. So you see the impact is quite large. We're proposing to also bring 1,000 new rental and homeownership units within this neighborhood as well. As we demolish Smithfield public housing site, the idea is that we recalibrate those units across the neighborhood instead of having a concentration in one area. And HUD requires that when we demolish a public housing community using choice funds, that we rebuild it one for one. And so we plan to bring all units back into the same footprint. They will not be scattered to, the east-west. They'll be right in the same footprint of College Hill, Smithfield, and Graymont. And so I will pass it over to Nando, who can speak more about the zoning that's required, the land use, and the housing plan. Nando, can you hear us?
I can, yeah, thank you so much. Good morning. As Corey said, my name is Tom McCauley. I'm a principal with LRK. We're a national firm. I'm here in Philadelphia. What you have in front of you is the narrative statement that was submitted a while back. It's been updated slightly, and we've added some other information to it so we can sort of present the current development of the plan and the need to have zoning change to support not just the plan that we're developing, but also rooted in the Western Area Plan as it relates to density and economic development. So, so you hopefully have reviewed some of that. As we've described in the narrative, there are eight sites, around the neighborhood. All of the sites are either owned by the city, housing authority, or under agreement between the city and the school district. So as Corey said last time, we were not successful. One of the issues was site control and the ability to develop that whole program within the target neighborhood, which is a term that HUD uses. Just to go over that, we are looking at site one, which is the former JCEO site, two, which is a city-owned property that's not a park, that's part of the McClendon Park area, the library and adjacent city-owned property. I'm not doing it by number, I'm just going down the slide. And then, of course, the Smithfield Court site, which is a large part of it, city-owned property across the street, property owned by the city that was a former elementary school in the neighborhood, Hill, another city-owned site, which is number six, and as I go around there, number eight is the surplus, what we call the surplus property for what was the high school redevelopment years ago. So those are the areas you can see on this. On the overview, we're looking at converting some of the property zoning to MUM, which allows for both mixed use, which would be, and I'll cover it a bit, which reinforces the corridor of the boulevard and 8th Avenue, but also allows for higher density buildings there. So overall, the program would require both D5 and MUM in order to complete replacement housing for the folks who live at Smithfield Court, but also the income mixing to make sure that's a successful, non-concentrated rental and homeownership community in the end. So all of this is rooted in what Corey had mentioned about the program that the Choice Neighborhoods is about, creating a sustainable, livable community based on a series of widely held principles. And the initiative really focuses on the history of the place and imagining a new future, which is part of the reason the tagline was created. Organizational structure, you can see this as a reflection of what Corey mentioned, that there are three task force, housing, neighborhood, and people in education, and then the partners are all the folks that he described in his introduction. So the community engagement process, just to give a little bit more depth, we've been meeting for over 4 months, and will continue to meet up and past the submission of the grant. So we've had separate resident meetings from neighborhood meetings as prescribed in the application to HUD. And the one change that you'll see is that we, at this point, are going to have since we've satisfied all these requirements, but to have an open house on the 16th to sort of just lay out kind of where we are and what the application is going to look like. So that's a change to that. But it's been a remarkable experience as consultants who operate around the country. an incredibly functional partnership among all the partners for locally, but also integrating integral role as the development lead for housing and their support services affiliate. So just a plug for how great it's been compared to other places. This has gone very smoothly, and that's because of people involved. So the proposed land uses, as I said, are going to include residential of different densities, mixed use and retail services along the Reverend Abrams Wood Jr. Boulevard, extending through 8th as that street changes names, and parks and open space integrated into it to really center some of the neighborhood development and create places within it that aren't characteristic of projects, public housing projects, but more characteristics of neighborhoods throughout Birmingham. As I said, if you review this just shows for each one of those sites how the required MUM or D4 supports the proposed range of housing and mixed use, all the way from single family models, single duplex, triplex, walk-up units, and apartment buildings. It imagines integrating the library, new facilities, a community center for the residents of the redeveloped site, and supportive services as part of the people plan, both centered along Abrams Jr. Boulevard. So that's kind of the overall development concept. You can ask specific questions on there. As part of the package, we had provided this, which has a full range of character imagery that we base our designs off of, and we are in the process of continuing to engage residents in the housing task force in developing some of those. And you'll see some more images toward the end of it. Again, this is just showing those uses across the whole area, focusing on the major streets. 8th Reverend Abrams Wood Boulevard and Center Street for those mixed-use locations, and then the other locations are housing of different densities. So this is a diagram of that intention. So based on the land uses, this is how we're looking at the zoning split. So again, the frontage all along Reverend Abrams Wood Jr. Boulevard is mixed-use. Multi-family kind of as part of the redevelopment, and park space integrated into that, and reflecting the existing community of Smithfield and College Hill single-family homes to mirror and integrate with the surrounding neighborhood. I'm sorry, part of the other thing is that, you know, as we look at plans, we also look at the ability to preserve heritage trees and not just clear the entire site. So part of the design with the parks is relating to that, and that's evolving as we speak. Multifamily up in that area, facing onto the ball fields as part of surplus high school site. It's just going through all the different zones. You can see similar approaches, mostly multi-family on the sites on that Lincoln Hill School site, which is between 6th and Graymont. Graymont has a denser and even some mixed-use along it, so we're looking at multi-family there and single-family typologies basing on 6th Avenue to sort of fit in to integrate with the surrounding single-family neighborhood. As I said, we've been continuing to work, where we're going to work through the next month and then make the submission for the 11th. So we're looking at a mix of styles, so it doesn't look like a project again, and also integrate market-driven desires, because this will be a mixed-income redevelopment. So that's sort of an overview of it. We didn't change much except for the date, but I'm going to give you a a presentation overview, the upcoming schedule. For today, we're doing the December 7th Planning Commission work session. There's a meeting with the community groups tomorrow. We have another Planning Commission meeting for consideration of the adoption on January 4th. We're going to be done with the application, which is why all of these scheduled meetings and your consideration are so important. We're going to be complete on January 9th and then and submit that for the deadline. And then future planning zoning committees on the 11th, council on the 17th, and the council hearing on February 14th. So the reason why all of these are important is that typically we have to have the zoning in place. So we're kind of against the gun, which is why having this meeting, this final meeting on the 4th is important, because that'll fit into our narrative as part of the application, that the city is serious about but the project and also the support of the zoning for the project. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Nando. So I know that was a lot of information, but since this is a work session, we could open it up for any questions that you all might have related to the application and the proposed developments.
Dr. Black had late, and somehow I either won or lost the coin toss to you guys. Are there questions from the commission? Councilor Abbott.
Yes, I want to know if the schools will be demolished or renovated.
I didn't hear the first one.
Oh, sorry. Will the two schools be demolished or renovated and included in the plans, and also the library will those be demolished?
Yes, so there's only one school included in the plan. That's Hill School that we purchased back in April, community development purchased in April. So that will be demolished and turned into new construction, new housing. And then there's the surplus vacant property behind Parker High School. It used to be housed as many years ago, but Parker, they absorbed it into the Parker site. And so we're proposing to build new rental and homeownership units right behind Parker High School.
Okay, and the Raymond Elementary, which is JCCEO, will that be demolished?
No, so the idea for the JCCEO headquarters is to preserve it and do senior units on the inside. So actually that would be the first off-site location. So we won't be moving people off-site. As we build new developments off-site, we'll move them into the new developments. So that will be a senior building, but it will have an early learning center on the first floor. And then the gym there will be used as a community center for the neighborhood, for seniors, and for youth. So it'll be an innovative space there.
Okay, the Smithfield Library, will it be preserved?
Yes, so in this plan, we're proposing to demolish it and build a new mixed-use development, which will include housing on the upper floors, but a brand new innovative library with cutting-edge technology, as well as a community space that could have cultural arts and programming inside of it that could collaborate with the library.
Okay, last question. All the park space that you're going to create, will that be controlled by Park and Recreation, or will that be controlled by the Housing Authority?
That will be controlled by the Housing Authority and the property management companies. So every development will have some green space associated with it. Although it will be controlled by the property management companies and the Housing Authority, it will be available to the entire community.
And just a tip, what you've got up on the screen is totally unreadable, illegible, that's not a good way to present if you're trying to present something to people who maybe they're visually challenged or maybe our TV screens just aren't good enough.
Yeah, I think the TV screen is a little smaller, plus you add the window of WebEx on it. So what we'll do is we'll get the entire presentation to you all so you can look over it. And next time, hopefully, we can have more of the folks in person or maybe do a larger projector screen.
Yeah, I don't know how other people feel about it, but email is just fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes. people in and out of the traditional public housing, what is going to be the income makeup? Are you going to do mixed income in each unit, or are you going to concentrate an income level in each development?
Yeah, so those are good questions. In our community meeting, we got good feedback, especially from Smithfield Court residents. If you didn't know, Smithfield Court is probably 80% seniors. And so their concern was, I don't want to move, and I don't want to move to a place where I don't have my friends, my neighbors with me. Although they don't want to move, they're still living in a place that really needs a lot of rehab and capital improvements. And so once we shared with them the plan for the JCCO building, that made them feel comfortable knowing that there was a designated senior building for them that would have amenities catered to seniors and programming, and the fact that they wouldn't have to move off-site to a temporary location in New Rock Bay. So that eased a lot of concerns. From the community, we also got that folks wanted to have more space, green space, for their children to play and enjoy. Also, another for the larger community was a lot of the homeowners needed help improving their homes, and so they wanted, with this program, with this grant, help them as well. And so, yeah, so we will be having a facade improvement program across the neighborhood. That will be income-based. A portion of it will be, and a portion of it will not be, because we have a lot of retirees in that neighborhood. And so we will have a robust program to provide home repairs and facade improvements for residents in all three neighborhoods. Income makeup. So each development will be mixed income. So the idea is not to concentrate one income in one development. So it'll be mixed in every development.
And one more, do you know the operator of the Early Learning
Center? So we are talking, courting two operators as we speak right now. I think one just dropped out, so we're going to have a call with another one this week. I can't think of their names right now to share, but we hopefully have that solidified definitely before we submit on January.
And one more question, capacity. How many students do you think would be able to be in that center? How many, like, are you banking on?
In the center?
In the Early Learning Center.
I think the first floor, I think we probably could get maybe 100 students there. And through this plan, you know, we hope to definitely bring in more families and attract more families to this neighborhood. Attendance at Parker High School right now is low. So this will be helpful to the Birmingham City School Systems to bring in new families into the neighborhood to support the educational program that's already there.
Yeah, and I know you guys are doing work with the legacy homeowners. One of the things that we've been having conversations about estate planning and wills.
Yes.
So making sure that they, as they're doing these new developments, that they're not displaced in the long term.
And that's definitely a part of it. The wills, and even helping some families who have titles that are not clear, where they got property from mom, auntie, and they want to participate in these grant programs, but they can't provide a clear title deed to the property. So we'll have partners that will work with them and provide legal assistance as well. We also are thinking about, you know, how can we preserve the taxes for those legacy homeowners where their taxes don't go up. Of course, that requires a lot more legislation, but this is a good model to begin that dialogue and begin that work where we can reduce their taxes at a certain level.
Commissioner Gunn first, and then we'll go to Commissioner Gordon. Quick question, is there any reason why Hilton Village was left out of the grant application?
So Hilton Village was left out because if you put it in the application, you have to have a robust plan to show how to redevelop it, and both of the sites are very large. Smithfield is about 500 units, as well as Hilton Village. And so, unfortunately, we just don't have the capital stack to be able to do both of them at one time. But the Housing Authority does have a redevelopment plan for it. They have a list of developers for every housing development that they planning for that. But we didn't have enough capital as well as a redevelopment plan now to include in the submission.
Okay, and then that answered my second question, was there a strategy for redevelopment? Commissioner Jordan.
It's a lot going on in the site plan. Is it gonna be phased? Like, what are you gonna do first and how do you have
yes.
the construction?
So, it's not numbered, but if you have this slide here with the numbers on it, it says project area, key development sites, and proposed zoning. So as I stated earlier, the idea is to retain residents at 3 while construction is going on. And so you see one is the JCCEO headquarters. That's going to be the first site, so that's phase one. That building will be constructed first, and when we're successful, we receive the funding, we foresee that construction will begin first quarter of 2024. So that would be the first building that will be constructed. And then we will move over to 2, which 2 is a portion is not really designated as McClendon Park, but it is city-owned property that is near Legion Field. It looks like it's a part of the larger McClendon site. And that will be phase 2, where we can move some of the family units as well as some of the seniors into that development. And so then it'll continue to go on as it is numbered. And so we'll do some demolition on 3 after we have moved people out of Smithfield and start building there as phase 3. And then the library site will be phase 4. And this will be done over a I believe we have an 8-year period to build all of these developments using the grant funds.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay, so I've seen several of these reports from different places, and what I appreciate the inspiration and imagery that's shown in here. I think it shows a nice character for the neighborhood. But what I don't see is a lot, there's some stuff for Parks and Rec, but I don't see a lot of like streetscape public realm type of stuff, and I don't see a lot of how do we provide access to other transportation options like transit or bike lanes or trails or anything like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I probably will get Nando to speak on it. And so we do have that as a part of the plan. We just don't have the imagery right now. We're still working through the plan and getting feedback from the residents. But a part of it includes complete streets that can be done on 8th. Let me see, where else do we have? So everywhere we have a development, we're proposing to do like some street improvements. But 8th is the most important place where we want to do that, because that's the corridor, the gateway into Smithfield. And that, though, I don't know if you heard the question, but the question was about streetscapes and improving the public realm. They mentioned that it wasn't in our submission, and what is our plan for that? You can't hear.
Yeah, sorry about me. I didn't want to disturb the conversation. So yeah, all of the, I mentioned briefly the idea of protection of heritage trees through development parks. But all of what you see in the rendering here of what is all those new streets and streets that abut existing neighborhoods will have streetscape as part of the development. That's the responsibility of the partners of the city and the housing developer. In places where we're talking about gateways and corridors, that's part of our neighborhood plan. So we were looking at this as just, you know, zoning for specific parcels, which will have streetscape improvements and such. But as part of the overall neighborhood plan, we're looking at investing in streetscape along Reverend Abram Woods Junior Boulevard / 8th because that is the main entry from both sides into the neighborhood. So that's part of what we're looking at. Other parts of the neighborhood plan, I have to defer to Corey about Corey and the other partners for the neighborhood plan, that we're in the process of making decisions about where the money for that will be spent.
Yes, and so another area besides 8 is also the surplus property behind Parker School. We want to incorporate some green space and trails there because we want the development to really be collaborative with the school. So the development behind Parker High School will have some commercial space at the bottom of it, that it could include space for community programs. And so we want to have a nice layout that will encourage walkability from Parker High School to the development at 8th. And also with this funding, we can support the larger trail that's being pushed by the Freshwater Land Trust that is proposed to come into Smithfield, I believe, along Graymont Avenue, and goes all the way up from downtown to Legion Field. And so we would be able to make that portion of the trail come to fruition with this grant.
So the final report will look at some standards and how this is supposed to be implemented, is that correct?
I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, the final report is going to include some standards and some goals for how these things are supposed to look like.
Yes, yes.
That's correct.
So our LRK, our planning team, and our developers are working on that right now to give more elevations and more imagery so that when we return on the 4th, you'll have an idea of each development, at least an elevation and some contextual background to go with it.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, sorry, I don't know whether you were.
Yeah, you're good.
Because I can't hear. But this is a red room actually produced for the last application, where some of the public investments, public neighborhood investments that were subsidized through the grant were envisioned. So this is at the corner of Center and Abram, Woods Junior Boulevard, where there's a plaza envisioned across from a new library and supportive services. And what you'll see in the foreground in this rendering is a bike lane protected by parking to connect to the downtown bike network. And then I think as Corey did, because I can hear only parts of the conversation. You know, I had pulled up that one plan. So this high school site, if I heard you talking correctly, Corey, there's already proposed improvements for a trail that runs up 5th or 6th Street that would come through and connect under the highway to the trail, especially up into the beyond the highway. So those elements are definitely part of the plan. And in case Corey didn't say that, if it's in here, was that, you know, when we come back on the 4th, all of that will be fleshed out as part of the overall plan. We're still finishing the plan, but since the housing tends to drive a lot of the, what we're thinking about, both in terms of the plan, because we have to replace and do mixed income, the neighborhood stuff is kind of like fitting into it, either based on stuff that's already been committed or proposed within the next 8 years, and see how we can enhance those proposals as part of this, as part of the housing development.
Thank you. Dr. Hollis.
Let me see. Okay, that's perfect. I guess it's just an awful just, you know, no questions, just a comment. I just want to commend y'all for how awful and thorough this proposal is. Y'all said you applied in 2020?
2020.
Okay, so maybe I was around for that. I don't remember it. I'm a pub these days. I feel personally very moved by the amount of like thought that y'all have put into specifically how to mitigate the trauma of relocation for the residents in these communities. That, you know, like you said, the despite like living conditions that require significant improvements, that can be those multiple moves can be really traumatic. And the thought of the phasing that y'all have done to make sure that to limit the amount of just like emotional stress that those residents will go through, like I find it really thoughtful. And I know it's like, it can be frustrating to go through these grant processes that are extremely competitive and thinking about like putting so much effort into something like this, but I think it makes me really proud of Birmingham and to work with y'all and support you guys in the process of putting this together, because I think it's an excellent model for how to think about housing redevelopment throughout the city, so just thank you.
Thank you. It's been a lot of work over the past couple of years. As you can see, the city has invested a lot. So even though we weren't successful in 2020, we still forged ahead and began to acquire property that we knew would be needed for this to come to fruition. And so we know we will be successful, but if not, we will still continue. And the Housing Authority still has a plan to redevelop the Smithfield Court site. It'll just be that this probably will go to probably like a 15-year plan instead of an 8. But I am confident with the level of work that we have put in with the partnerships. We have 60 partners with the amount of leverage that we have so far that we will be successful.
Mr. Gallas, on hand?
Just want to make a statement. This is definitely going to be a game changer for this community. It's going to shift the dynamics of the community. But what I want to make sure that there is an intentional effort by partners to educate the community on what's going to happen, especially protecting their homes during this whole process, because things are going to change. Prices are going to change, affordability is going to change, and all that stuff. So I want to make sure there's an intentional effort by partners to educate the committee, the citizens, on the process and what it looks like. One, to prevent any displacement in the future that may occur from the development. So I just want to make sure there's an intentional effort on partners and it's communicated in the overall plan to prevent displacement and educate the community.
Yeah, that's a very good comment. And that's one that we hear all the time when we meet with various partners. And so we make sure that is going to be at the forefront. Community development, we're proposing to use one of the floors at the bottom of these developments to put a satellite office where we can have staff in the community working with the residents through a lot of those issues, as well as the public housing residents will each have a case manager that will be with the family all the way from, you know, newborn children all the way to their children go to college and so forth. And so there's going to be a more committed effort to walk everyone through this process, because it's going to be a shift and a change for everybody.
Okay, I'm not seeing any more hands, and we are not taking a vote on this today, so we're going to want to close this item. Do you have any further business for this group?
Good morning. Just want to acknowledge one thing this morning. Let's see, Dr. Hollis, is today your last planning commission meeting?
Yeah.
Yes. So I at least just want to go ahead and acknowledge that today is Dr. Hollis's last planning commission meeting, and I just want to just thank her for many years of service to the planning commission and participation, serving on the Zoning Advisory Committee. And so just want to say thank you and that you will be missed.
Yeah. Indeed you will. I'm sorry our time crossing here has been so short. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. Okay, I think that concludes our business for today, so I will hold this meeting adjourned. Gavel's over there across the
And we did have a solicitation out for two additional members of the Planning Commission, so if you know anyone who is interested, they need to send us an email and say, and send their resume and say, I'm dying to be on the Planning Commission.